But I don't go to many games. I mean, it's cheap. Here in Chicago, it's difficult as hell to get to Wrigley. You know what I mean? You got to go through the whole damn city to get up north, and very, very bad.
Well, I haven't done it yet. As I said, I moved here about the 1st of September, and I had a job to get in line.
And then you get to Wrigley, there's no, if you drive, there's nowhere in the world you can park, and if you park somewhere, it's $6, $8, $10 to park your car, and then you're parking in any alley or somebody's backyard, or they don't have any parking area at all outside the park. But it's a beautiful park. But I still think Wrigley should have, in the Depression years, should have bought up a couple of those blocked areas there and turned it into parking, and really made himself a gold mine there.
Now we could have, sure.
Now all those houses are, instead of selling for $5,000 in the 40s, now they want $400,000 for the same old houses up there.
Well, I haven't gotten to Wrigley yet, but that's on my list of things to do this spring.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I have gone to some spring training games, not with the Cubs, but down in Florida when I lived there, and I thought that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, spring training.
So might try that again.
Spring training was a lot of hard work, but still it was a fun time. Even as old as I am, believe it or not, February rolls around and something in my mind is...
the old fire horse, huh?
Here's something in my mind brings me back into thinking I'm packing, I'm going down. Just something that is a part of you and never leaves you. To get up, tell the wife I said, well, spring training time, as I'm starting to dream about spring training again.
Well, there's going to be a get-together of White Sox and Cubs, I guess, in January, February. I'm thinking about getting into that.
You mean...
they call it a Sox Fest or something like that. I don't know what it is.
The Cubs have it every year.
Yeah.
Cubs have it every year. January, and they introduce some of the players go to... Players nowadays, I don't know if it's required of them, I sort of think it is, that they go to a lot of these things. Back in my time, you didn't go anywhere. You never went to any kind of luncheons or anything like that.
Did they have them?
I don't know. Nobody. Well, first of all, you weren't playing at night. What I mean?
Yeah.
You were playing at 1:30, 2:30 in the afternoon. You had to be out there at 10:30, 11 o'clock, so you couldn't very well do it. So that, and now that you got night games and no double headers. God, we had double headers practically every damn Sunday or holiday. You always had double headers. Now you never even had double headers unless you're forced into one. None are ever scheduled. Well, I would imagine that there are a few players around here that you can probably get a hold of.
Well, I'm certainly going to try.
Billy Pierce is he's still active in. You know, a lot of clubs are not a lot. He's still quite active on the Sox program too. But what I mean is, he goes out and speaking engagements and so forth like that. He's still active along those lines.
I met him and Andy Pafko and John Klipstein at an event
now,
like that.
Pafko lives up in Wisconsin.
Mount Prospect.
Or does he?
Yeah, not possible.
Well, and then Ray Berries lives up in, I believe, up in Wisconsin over the Illinois Barrier border somewhere up there. He'd be another great one to get a hold of, because he's got so much baseball experience.
one with Chico Carrasquel, another one I'd like to meet. I viewed the player when I grew up. I have down here that Billy Cox lives in Charleston, Illinois.
Well, Charleston, that's a couple of 100 miles south of here.
George Dickshot lives in Waukegan.
Yeah, George, I played.
John.
He was on that Jersey City picture I showed you. He was on there.
I shouldn't be surprised with that.
You know?
No, I don't. I know the name.
Johnny Dickshot, he was on there. He played with Pittsburgh for a while.
Yeah, I believe that's right. What were some other players from around your time that are here? Russell Bowers.
Russ Bowers, I was in the Army with him.
Yeah.
He was a pitcher for Pittsburgh too, wasn't he?
Yeah. And the Cubs in 46.
Yeah. Russ Bowers, I was in the Army. He'd be a fun guy. Yeah.
Did you know George Binks?
Binks, so.
Yeah, he was over in the other league. Thought he might. Fellow played for the 33-34 White Sox, lives in Cicero, named Milton Bocek, I guess, B-O-C-E-K.
I'll tell you that baseball book that I showed you that I wrote when I was 13 years old,
mm-hmm.
A career book,
mm-hmm.
You had to go out and interview somebody that was a ball player or an ex-ball player. And guess who I interviewed? Ray Schalk, you remember?
Oh,
that?
Yeah.
Ray Schalk.
Yeah.
And he had a bowling alley over here at 79th and Cottage Grove. Then he had this bowling alley that's right up here at 95th and a couple of blocks aside of Western. That used to be his bowling alley.
He's been gone now. What? He died, what, 79?
Yeah, he's been gone.
One
of the games, we had an old-timers game or something in Grand Crossing Park, and he caught me back in, I guess, about 1933 or 34. He put on the catching dogs and caught me.
Oh, that's a great story.
And when I was down working down at the Board of Trade, he used to come in there quite often because he dealt in stocks quite a bit, and one of the fellows that worked for us, he was his customer, so we got to talk to Ray Schalk quite a bit. That was probably in the 60s and 70s he used to come in there quite often. But you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah.
I mean, here is a Hall of Famer and all of that, and people see him and just walk by him like nothing, you know. They just don't have them. Great guys like that.
I wish I'd met him. Did you know Irvin Dusak?
Irv, yeah.
I played
with Irv.
He lives nearby.
He was a Cardinal, one of those Cardinal $50 a month guys. In his young.
He's up in Lombard now.
Is he?
Huh?
Alvin
Blossom?
Yeah, Blossom. He was on that 39.
Him too, huh?
39. Alvin Blossom?
Yeah, he's in Fairview Heights.
Is that right?
And I think he was in the American League even before your time. It was Sigmund Griska. Played for the Browns in the late 30s.
How did he spell his name?
G-R-Y-S-K-A. I don't know anything about him either. Orville Jorgen pitched for the Phillies in the late 30s.
I remember that this here one here is in New Jersey.
Aren't they Lepaska?
Here's Dickshot. Dickshot,
you know, I was going to ask who he was. I think I've seen pictures of Dickshot someplace.
There's
Al Ann.
I've never seen a picture of him.
Dickshot. Well, if I get in touch with them, and I hope to, I'll certainly tell them that I've seen them in their glory days.
Yeah,
strange, if the string bar, they've got it. A lot of them are there.
I think it's interesting that several of them are here in the Chicago area.
I never thought about it. Dick Shad, Johnny, when I first got out of, when was it, 1946? You couldn't find an apartment here. I mean, it was right after the war, you know. Couldn't even find an apartment. And Bob Sheffing, who was the catcher of the Sox, or the Cubs, for the Cubs, he was renting an apartment up in Waukegan. And I said, Bob, I got to talk to him. I said, Bob, I don't know where the hell I'm going to live when I come back from New York. He said, Bob, he says, I got an apartment up in Waukegan. He says, why don't you come up and talk to the guy that owns it? He says, when I move out after the season's over, then you can take it, you know? So that's where I lived during the winter, clear up in Waukegan, you know? And once in a while, I'd hop a train to come into Chicago, and I met Johnny Dickshot a couple of times on the train platform. He was living up there, though.
Person I'd like to meet.
Well, Johnny must be, a few days, I'm going to be 74.
Yeah, I saw you had a birthday coming up.
A couple of days. So Johnny has got to be...
He will be 81 next month.
I'm going to say 6, 7 years
old. Yeah, January 1910. Yeah. Well, if my math is right.
He's there. Because, talking about all these guys here, what the hell, I was only 20 years old, and they already were up in the big leagues and down, so
right.
They had to be quite a bit older than me.
10 to 15 years anyway.
Yeah, sure, a lot of them there. Some of those guys are probably, if they're living here, they're over 100 years.
Yeah.
Because we had some old-timers that were in their 40s playing there.
Well, Gabby Hartman, I know, was 40 when he was
with the Giants.
That's very unusual.
Gabby was a card. He was a card. He sure liked his schnapps.
Yeah?
Not the liquor. He just liked his beer. Back in those days, you had a lot of guys that were heavy drinkers.
You think that was a real problem? Was it a problem, I should say? You know, a lot of people can drink and it's not a problem. Some people drink and it is a problem.
I don't think it was just like everything else. You know, some do, some don't. Drink anything, they're very likely, and others go overboard. So I wouldn't say that that's a trait of a ball player by any means.
No.
But it's just average is like it is in whether you're working in an office or anything. But let's say you have the opportunity to drink more. Because you go after a ball game, maybe you go into the bar for a beer, and then somebody knows you in there, and then before you know it, you got 10 in front of you. They're buying you a beer, so, you know, the possibility exists, so you gotta not go into the joints in the first place.
Was there alcohol in the clubhouse? Was there a before game or after game meal for the club?
You had a clubhouse boy. You had a doubleheader. You had to give him an order to go down to the. You usually had a place where he went down for sandwiches and stuff for the guys, and he took your order and come in between games, and you had your sandwich or whatever. The clubs never gave you nothing. I mean, when you went to the best hotels, You went to the best dining rooms, and when you went there, all you did was sign your check. You never had to put any money out. The only thing you had to do was leave your tips, that's all. I mean, there was no expense involved. Of course, you had to get to the ballpark on your own, taxi or whatever way you got there. But everything was taken care of, your baggage and your everything else. They took care of everything else. There wasn't anything you had to worry about. Just get to the station on time.
I was interested to hear about your meeting Ray Schock, and really having spent a good deal of time with him. You mentioned Honus Wagner. Were there any other of the really old-time ball players that you came into contact with?
Well, of course, we played the Yankees off and on in exhibition games. Babe Ruth and Gary and those guys. The real old-timers. Bill McKechnie, you remember Bill McKechnie? He was a manager of Cincinnati.
Red, yeah.
Cincinnati. Of course, Casey Stengel, he was managing Boston one of the years that we were playing with them. Of course, your old timers, after they got through playing, usually hooked up on these minor league clubs that the parent club had. When I was in Knoxville, playing in Knoxville, we had a team there that couldn't beat high school players, you know what I mean? We had a horrible team. Well, they fired the manager, and guess who they brought down? Because the Giants had three or four players on the team. Freddie Lindstrom, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He was our manager for the better part of the season. And he was, I used to sit and talk with him for hours, you know what I mean? He'd tell me how to, I'd say, well, geez, I had trouble getting this guy out, you know? I can't find out how the hell to get him. And he'd say, Bob, try pitching him this way, if I trip. But he was the guy that got me thinking there's more to pitching, more to throwing a baseball than to throwing a baseball, you know what I mean? You gotta use your brains along with it. You just can't stand out there and fire it again. You gotta find out, well, this guy can hit that kind of a pitch, but he can't hit this kind. And then when he told me, he said, Bob, pitch him low inside, or on his knees inside. And I did that, and from then on in, I never had any trouble with the guy at all.
I was wondering if Lindstrom did any managing in majors, do you know if he did or not?
Really?
I don't have any recollection of that.
I don't think so. He played with both the Cubs and the Giants, I know that.
Yeah.
And he started in when he was, 17 years old?
Yeah, very young.
Was he along with?
He didn't manage at all in the majors.
No.
I.
But there again, he was he was a guy that liked his, he wasn't a serious, some guys are cut out to be managers, you know what I mean? Other guys don't have the ability to be tough with certain type of individual. I mean, you've got a whole team of different personalities. Some guys you have to give him a kick in the can to get him going. Other guys, you got to pat him on the back, you know. You got to be a psychologist to be a good good manager. And I think that's the reason why they never gave Babe Ruth a shot at it, you know what I mean? He was a good time Charlie. That's all he was interested in, good time. But when you get to be manager, you got to be a diplomat. You got to have conferences. You got to deal with the news media, so you gotta be a pretty sharp guy to be a manager. And have a lot of things going, different things going for you. Everybody don't have that.
Do you think that psychological aspect is the most important Well, what is the most important attribute a manager can have? Is it that psychological?
Well, he's got to know his players and how to deal with them.
Their strengths and weaknesses.
And I think a manager nowadays that quit baseball 20, 30 years ago is don't belong in managing because he don't know how to get along with this breed of ball players you have. I mean, how can a guy that's making $250,000, if he makes that much as a manager, deal with a guy that makes $29 million?
Hard to turn the screws on, huh? Isn't it?
Can you go up and say, give him a kick in the ass and say you're not doing a good job? He'll tell you where to go, won't he? There's not a damn thing you can do about it. So, being a manager nowadays, you have to be, in my opinion, you have to be in the 36 to 40 year old, you got to be on the same plane as these guys are. You got to know how their mind operates.
Tony La Russa type?
He's pretty much that way. He's pretty much that way. And the guy that comes got right now, I think he's going to be a hell of a manager. Because he's not too far out of, he's younger than some of the guys that are still playing the game. So he's not going to be out of touch with, he's going to know how some of these guys think, and he's riding along with them. So he's not some guy that's 60 years old trying to deal with a guy that's 20. You're two different generations.
Well, that's quite a change then from how it was when you were growing up. John McGraw, of course, managed almost to the end of his life. And of course, Connie Mack had a long ways to go when you came up.
But you were still in an era where guys were, they weren't college grads. Most of them didn't have more than a high school education. A lot of them didn't have a high school education. And they were only making, he was making more money than they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was the authority figure. If he says, the hell with you, you're gone tomorrow, you were gone tomorrow. Can you tell that to a guy that's making $29 million? You can't do nothing with him. You could fine him, so what? Instead of making 29, he's making 28,750. So you're not hurting him anymore. It's a different, totally different nowadays, I believe.
Do you think that's the biggest change in the 50 years, the economics of the game?
I think so. And the type of parts you play in this goddamn fake grass, I think is a joke. I think it's an absolute joke to baseball. You don't get a true baseball player. Get a guy that can run, outrun a bouncing ball. That's all you got. What the hell kind of ability is it where a guy can just hit the bat on the ball and he can outrun the damn thing? Is that baseball? I mean, that's not baseball. That's playing it on. I look at that kind of baseball as playing it on a pool table. Playing it on a pool table.
The domes don't bother you though, I suspect, do they? The fact that you can control the climate.
Well, how the hell are you gonna have grass if you have a dome? Huh?
Well, there's some of them open.
Well, if they can get natural grass, I'll go along with it. But I don't think there's enough games rained out to where you have to put a dome over a baseball field.
Yeah, you talked about the money, or a relatively small amount of money going towards the minor league. I'd like to see an even smaller amount of money go to supplying wooden bats to college teams.
Well, it's true. You can't, minor leagues don't use, colleges use those metal bats, aluminum bats. Minor leagues don't.
I've heard that you have to teach a pitcher when he goes from a college team to the minors or the majors to throw inside, because with the metal bat, they don't learn to throw inside. I mean, there's no reason to. Have you heard that at all, or any thoughts on that?
You're going to be a pitcher. I don't care what kind of a pitcher you are. You got to play the 17 inches wide, and you've got to learn to use 17 inches. You can't throw everything outside or inside. One pitcher, you got to have command of your pitches to be able to throw inside and outside. A guy goes up there, you're sure not going to pitch him. You're not going to pitch him everything low and outside over the plate, because he's going to hang. He's going to hang over there to do that. And then to get him to straighten up, you got to come inside him and push him back. That's what I'm telling you. That throwing at batters nowadays, yeah. These guys just lean over the plate and say there's nothing you could do with me. You know, you can't do nothing. You can't get me out of here. You throw in, so I'll just stick my hand up and get hit. Well, if you throw at his noggin, he isn't going to stick his noggin up there to get hit, is he? I mean, that. Sure, they say, oh, you can't do that. You'll ever hurt somebody. Nobody, they used to do it year in and year out. They were able to, somebody gets hurt, but they get hurt now with helmets. We never even had a helmet. You went up there with the same damn cloth hat to hit the field, and you never took it off.
Talking about people getting hit reminds me of two Dodgers that were hit. Pete Reeser, how good was Pete Reeser?
Oh, he was a guy that was his own worst enemy, you know what I mean? He would shy away from fences or anything, you know. The hell, if a fly ball is going to, and you know, those fences then didn't have any padding or anything. They were just like your basement foundation, you know what I mean? They were solid cement. And you crashed into one of those, you did yourself damage.
And Joe Medley was another one who took that terrible beating.
Well, he was the first guy I pitched to when I went up from. When I pitched against Brooklyn, and they brought me in early, he was the first guy I pitched against, and I got him to hit into a double play.
Good start.
I remember that. But he hit the hell out of the ball, but he hit it one hop to the second baseman, and he threw both ways, you know. I won't say he got he didn't hit it good, but he hit it right at him. You know? That's all right, too. But he was a good ball player.
Yeah, I heard he was never quite the same after that beating.
Well, you know.
Was he shying away from the plate, or was he I think it's
something that's in your mind and you can't shake.
Maybe he was almost killed and didn't forget.
You know, it's something that. In your mind, and you just, a lot of them have the ability to shake it off. Nowadays you get beamed with the helmet at 99% of the time you're not even hurt unless you hit you in an area where the helmet don't cover you, which is possible, but not the main part of your skull is all covered.
I think there are a couple batting helmets. People who've had jaw injuries, you know, come down.
A lot of them that were hit always continue to wear a helmet that, you know, slides over. That's all right, too. I mean, if you're going to, a lot of players, I would imagine over the years that did get hit, gun shy, and it affects their playing ability from then on, of course.
I wanted to ask you if the ghost of John J. McGraw was still around the Polo Grounds when you were there. Was there any?
No.
What the? people who had played with him, I mean, Terry and Ott had, obviously. Was there much reference to him?
No. Well, of course, you read different stories and magazines and things like that, but you really never heard the players talk about it. You must have had, like, Travis Jackson. He must have played under him. Terry and Adi. Maybe Joe Moore. I don't know if Terry played under him or not. There weren't too many. Frank Snyder, he was a coach. Adolph Luke, he might have. But never heard much mention of him.
Well, it had been almost 10 years, but I was wondering,
yeah.
Sometimes things like that live on, and sometimes, obviously,
well,
they
would,
don't.
I would think if you, I don't know if, you know, sometimes it's always, if you're a young player, you seem to get along with a manager. He's more of a father figure to you rather than, but if you're an old timer, like some of those old timers, and they probably fought like hell with McGraw over something or other, you know what I mean? But a younger player, I never had any run-ins with any manager that I ever played for, you know what I mean? I never gave him any opportunities to be mad at me. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you weren't interested in that.
No, that wasn't a part of my makeup. Maybe a decision, cause any dissension.
Well, we've covered an awful lot of territory.
Yeah, it's been a long evening.
It's been a very enjoyable evening for me. What do you think?
Well, I've never had any I've never had anybody approach me in this manner before.
Well, then it's about time.
You know, some of these things I haven't even thought about for 10 years. You know?
Well, I told you that might be the case. I hope it's been as enjoyable for you as it has been for me. Possibly it couldn't be as enjoyable for you as for me, but I hope so.
Well, I can understand that. There are, you know, even to this day, still get requests for autographs and things like that. And people want you, you know, they rather just ask for an autograph. They ask you a myriad of questions and so forth. But I don't like to get into that. I'll sign their autograph and that's it, you know. I really don't like to get into it. If it's a simple question, I'll answer it, but if it's something on the personal side, I'll just pass it. But I still get requests for autographs. So. And another thing I can't understand is these players, all the money they're making, a lot of them will not sign an autograph. They want to be paid. They want to be paid. I've even had people requesting me. They said, I'll send you 50 pictures if you autograph this, and I'll pay you so much money. I don't even, I take their letter and throw it in the basket. I told the wife, I said, my God, I said, if a guy can't sign a piece of paper without getting a $10 bill out of it. I said, that's a sad day, especially with the salary these guys are getting. You'd think that they'd be happy to do that, wouldn't you?
Well, sometimes they have somebody else do it, too. Sometimes.
Well, I mean, you've got an organization now that, which I haven't joined. They want to have you join some kind of a club, and then they'll how much do you want for your autograph, and then that somebody has to write into them and...
Is it the one in Independence, Missouri?
I don't remember which one it is. There's several of them that watch here, and they say they'll pay you so much an autograph. I don't
I only know of one like that. I'll admit, I'm planning on asking you for your autograph.
That part of it's all right, but I don't go in for this this selling either, you know. What I also don't dislike is when some guy sends me 20 cards, you know what I mean? I figure
he's in it for himself.
I'll sign a certain amount, and that's all I'll sign and send it to him. He's not going to make money off of me either. I don't want that either.
Well, you probably agree then with the letter I got this past week. I wrote to a ball player whom you may not know. His name is Al Hyper Moran. M-O-R-A-N, pitched for the Braves in 1934 and 1935. And I asked him to sign this card, let me know if there's any fee or charge. And he wrote back a note saying that people who expect to get paid for their autographs are really kicking you nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. And I just, you know, I get this, it isn't bad. It's M. Major League Players, I don't know.
Oh, not baseball assistance team.
It's not that one. It's the other one. But they want you to join, and then they're gonna, they hold a banquet or something every spring down in Florida, mm-hmm. and all of this. And they're supposed to help indigent ball players and this and that. And then you get where they're playing golf tournaments up in Milwaukee and all over the place. Do they all pay their own way, or do they, you know? And then they just started up here recently. What about the other 45 years that went by and nobody even approached them? Do you ever talk about any of the guys that are playing baseball, whether they're in on the pension program or not? You mentioned
sometimes that's asked. Whit Wyatt was the one who brought that up in particular. He was very forthright about how much he makes on the pension plan and how he was brought in as a coach because he had not pitched the required number of years. And so it was as a coach that he made the cutoff for the pension. He talked about how he's very happy to have it.
I was fortunate enough to get on around there too.
Good.
I have to say, I get three times a month in the pension as I did when I first offered.
I think Mr. Wyatt said much the same thing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
There was some sort of a retroactive pay he got a year or two ago, whatever it was.
Yeah,
he mentioned several thousands of dollars.
I did the same thing, you know, just came out of the blue, and you know, I said, well, that's great. Now she says, I got five grandchildren, so she says, now you give it to all. Give it to all your grandkids, which I did. I just used
real windfall.
Here's something for your college education.
Well, I think the pension is something that needs to be addressed. There are a number of ball players who are living, I suspect, on the brink.
Yeah.
And that should be rectified.
Well, now it's down to 4 years. Playing 4 years. Of course, my Warriors counted in when I got the pension, so I get seven. But turned into a lifesaver. Of course, I probably could have got along without it. It wouldn't have. I've been retired now. This is my 16th year. I quit working when I was 57. Helps a hell of a lot in your retirement years.
Well, I'm sure you'd have gotten along without it if you'd had to, but it's awfully nice to...
Maybe it would have meant that I had to work longer, you know, rather than retire at 57, but I knew I had that coming in. Of course, it wasn't at that time anywhere near as luscious as it is now because of the increased revenue from the, you know, from television and all that. To get three times what the hell you're playing for when you're playing, you know, not hard to take.
No. Well, I think you folks deserve it. You helped make the game great. And
we were the ones that started in 1947. After we worked on it all 1946, and then it became active. It became operative in the 1947 season. Well, I was very fortunate. Of course, we had to contribute toward it, let's put it that way, but got that back thousands of times.
Yeah. Great idea.
A lot of these players that you mentioned here were already quit before the 47 year, you know, and they're all out in the cold, none of them did anything, even though they might have played 15 years in baseball. It's a bad thing when you start it up. Somebody's always going to get hurt. But now, you take the present-day players, when they retire, they're going to get over $100,000 a year. That's what it is now. The maximum is $105,000. When we started, you had to play 20 years to get the maximum, which was $25,000. 20 years. Now it's down, I think, to 10 to get the maximum, which is 105. So these guys, in addition to making their $29 million or their millions of dollars, have got something. And when I was down there, you could start it in at 50. Now it's down to 45. You start drawing your pension out, 45.
Is it at $105,000? Because I think that's the minimum.
No,
major
that's the maximum.
Salary. No, but I think it's the minimum major league salary now.
I think it's $100,000.
So it's close to that now.
Yeah, that's your minimum salary.
The pension plan isn't something that I think is well publicized among the fans. I don't think any of us know much about it at all.
No, they don't. The only time they seem to dwell on it, when some television announcer or somebody says, you know, he gets down on these players, you know, for some reason or another, and then he makes a wisecrack about the pension program. Or every 5 years it comes up for renewal, you know, so at that time they hash on it a little bit too. But baseball has been good.
Well, I'm going to do as I said I was going to do, and I'm going to ask you for that autograph.